Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I am your host, Jill, and I'm here with my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, good evening, worms. I just want to say that because this is the weather of worms, huh?
Oh, yes. They're
Amen.
All over the place.
Yeah. And we'd love for you worm listeners to give us a call tonight. Tell us what's going on with your garden, what you've been able to do out there in this wet weather, and what you're really excited about getting out there and doing when it warms up here tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
527-4868. 1-866 KVNF now. And yeah, well, the weather is at the forefront. I'm sure you've still been out there making stuff happen. What? The rain did not wash your hands.
No, it made it worse.
It made it worse, yeah.
Yeah, it makes mud. Worse. That's for sure,
wet,
right?
Wet soil like that, it dries on your hands. Oh, well.
That's okay, Lance. Yeah, we expect that from you.
Yeah. I haven't stopped. I got the potatoes planted. And I thinned lettuce and spinach and that kind of stuff. And manure tea, compost tea, you know.
Still carrying on. Are you getting any special projects done? You mentioned your drying house kind of.
Oh, I cleaned out the area where I dry my fruit for the summer. Mm-hmm. Got that all. It's like, I'll do the final real cleaning when I start, you know, but because there'll still be more dust and stuff that blows in.
Yeah.
From the trailer.
Getting that ready.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
you're
was
getting,
cleaning my basement.
There
I'm
you go.
I'm still on it.
Uh-huh. Good thing to do on a rainy day.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Get rid of those cats. Oh, I had one of my cats shaved.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
hope it warms up out there.
Well, she's fine. She can stay inside all she wants, but I'm telling you, she looks hysterical.
That's I'll have to drive by and see her floating around in your garden.
She won't go outside for a while. She's kind of
scared.
She's scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty traumatic.
It's pretty traumatic.
Hair is an interesting animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially on cats. But that's all right. She'll rally.
Hey, do you have a cat out there in your garden? 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Lots of different bugs coming out right now.
There is lots of bugs. Mm-hmm. The asparagus beetle's already out there.
Asparagus beetle.
And the slugs, with this kind of weather, they can do damage. And I had an area last year that I couldn't get the grass out. And right in that area, it's a bed of, it's mainly grapevines, but right at the edge, I planted tiger lilies.
Uh-huh.
And because I couldn't get the grass last year because of the weather we had, I just hand-turned it last fall, and I've been in the process of digging it. Well, those clumps or clods of dirt, they've gave the home, perfect home for the slugs. And they are, I would say they've eaten half of those lilies in there.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
Yeah, underground, right underground, right at the ground level.
And so what are you going to do to remedy that? You just have
I'm digging the grass out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not finding cutworms or anything else, but there is definitely slugs down there.
I didn't realize they could be so destructive.
Well, they go there every night.
Party. Club
and if it's raining all day, they're eating all day long.
Dance.
Right.
You know, so.
Down tonight. I love it.
Slug national anthem.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, and then I've started seeing just actually full-size grasshoppers. I haven't seen.
Oh, really?
No way.
Yeah, I saw it's an inch and a half grasshopper. That's when it was warm last week.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised to see it.
Yeah.
So it was one somehow wintered over.
Goodness gracious. That's like hibernated. And came out a mega grasshopper.
Now, this is I hadn't written this down, but I have magpies for the second year. I've made a nest in the hedge grove around my garden. And they're sort of fun to watch and stuff. Those birds are really smart.
Yeah,
I have my little live traps for the voles. Because I'm going to remove these voles from my garden.
Okay.
Well, they figured out that in the morning before I get out there, they turn those traps upside down and take the voles out.
Are you kidding me?
So they're feeding their babies with those voles.
Oh, my gosh. That's fabulous. Those are smart birds.
They are. Does anybody remember those cartoons, Heckle and Jekyll?
Yes.
They were magpies, weren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were really cool.
I had a friend in, when I was like in elementary school that had a pet magpie. That thing was smart. Just traveled around with him on his shoulder and just smart as a nutcracker.
So that was amazing to watch that. I mean, I did have another lab trap this morning. It had a skunk in it. So that's always for an interesting walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always
What do I do here?
No, I got it figured out.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you do have a method to that madness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had a grasshopper, you got slugs. What are you going to do for the slugs? Are you going to leave the slugs?
I'm not going to do anything about the slugs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just taking that grass out.
Yeah, it's only in this one spot. There are lots of slugs, don't get me wrong. But the one place where they're really bad is they're eating that. They're not really eating anything else. They're eating those lilies.
Right, right.
So, and the birds, and the, once it gets warm, snakes, the garter snakes love slugs.
There you go. Yeah. Come
See,
on,
that's
bring
a,
on the
that's
snakes.
A real... That's something my garden is missing, is a good garter snake. Uh-huh. But that's because of the cats.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You know, the cats get after them. And
that's that. I like cats, but I like my snakes, lizards, and
Absolutely.
Birds more.
Yeah, I do.
The birds are really crazy out there. So wonderful. Just all day long. It's not just in the morning that you can hear them. It's
no,
all day.
No, they are, right? Mm-hmm. And the hummingbirds.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The hummingbirds are off the chart this year in around my house anyway and around my neighbor's house. And, of course, we both feed them as well. But, they're cuckoo for all the blossoms that are everywhere. And they're just they're having a really good time. And there's several different kinds. There's like a ruby-throated and a broad-tail and couple of others that I don't know, but
I love it when you get a Rufus and you've got him kind of watching that feeder and chasing
everybody else out. He like a little attack dog. You think you're tough.
I wanted to mention did say asparagus beetle,
right?
A very simple way. It doesn't kill them, but they don't like it as white flower. Just dust it on the plant. They fall off the plants immediately.
Oh, really? So just dust it over your asparagus. Yeah, they're going to fall off.
Yeah, they'll fall off, go back to the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting concept. The flower or who was saying milk to get rid of aphids? And I've heard that before, too, especially the curly
leaf.
As
a deterrent
leaf.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's organic, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, we've got Rick on the line. Hi, Rick.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I've got the radio on here. I'm hearing that there's...
Okay, thank you.
I've got a question about potatoes back from last week.
Okay. Rick, could you turn your radio down just a little bit and we'll...
I'll turn it off.
There you go.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That's better.
Okay, potatoes.
Go on.
I got in on the kind of the tail end of talking about potatoes and rotating. And we always plant our potatoes in whiskey barrels.
Okay.
And we've been planting them in the same place, same whiskey barrel, year in, year out. Usually they're, we get a pretty good, crop out of them, but recently they've, have been less productive. Do you need to take all of the soil out of there and then replace it with a different soil?
Yeah, I would.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Now, did you call up last year about potatoes in the barrels?
I did.
Yes.
I don't know if it was last year.
It was last.
Year
it was last year.
Okay. Yeah, we were. They grow up and they do really fine, and then all of a sudden they just start turning
and
yellow and they die.
Yeah, we decided it was because you were putting manure in there, which creates the potatoes to have early blight.
Yeah, that scale kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But we're okay. So, you said there was too much nitrogen.
Too much nitrogen will do that to potatoes. It's better to plant them like where my potatoes are planted right now. No fertilizer's been in there for 2 years.
Oh wow!
And I have another row where the corn crop was last year, so it's pretty depleted in that sense.
Well, we've got that all the chicken pellets manure. We put some of that stuff in there. That you buy at the local, places around here. And it just kind of, it's a slow, slow process as far as getting the actual fertilizer in there. But we always put put compost in with the soil and we turn the soil. But so you're suggesting just dump it all out and start all over.
Yeah, and that's what I would do.
Uh-huh.
You might, and if you don't want to go to the expense of the buying new soil, pasteurize that soil. Pasteurize it. All compost that's in bags has been pasteurized. In other words, heated up to kill the pathogens and weed seeds.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So you could do that on your own if you have a way to do it. You know?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a way to do that.
Yeah.
Well, if you can get if you get some clear plastic and you can put it to the dirt on a tarp or something and then put clear plastic over it. And the trick is you have to leave you can't have the plastic like sitting on whatever it is that you're trying to pasteurize.
Okay.
You have to have airspace and get a thermometer and see if you can get it up to 160 degrees.
I bet you could on a sunny day.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you
sure.
could.
Yeah.
And you could
yeah.
use 1 gallon planting pots. Probably pretty
okay.
easy to base it up.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing is there's some potatoes that's extremely acceptable to early blight, and one of them is Yukon Gold.
Oh, so try to avoid that.
Yeah, don't plant Yukon Gold or the red Pontiacs. Get it. That's an old
okay, we like the red potatoes.
Yeah, so. I didn't say. There's the red sangre does really good, and the Colorado rose is an early potato and does good. I'm just saying there's some that are susceptible to early blight no matter what you do.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you're going to plant Yukon Golds, plant them for an early potato. Dig them, harvest them.
Right.
Eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've been able to have two different crops.
That's amazing.
You know,
wow.
And we've had potatoes, you know, all the way through like January or February.
That's great. Good
so.
Trick.
Yeah, that's
all
awesome.
Right.
All right, Rick. Good luck with your potato crop.
And
this year.
Yeah, buy new seed potato.
Okay.
Yeah,
we haven't even started planting those things yet. So.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you were saving seed from your crops in the past, but you can do that for about 3 or 4 years, then you need to buy new seed potato.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, then.
Yeah,
all
thank
right.
You.
Thanks
see,
for the call,
see
Rick.
That potato thing. Thanks, Rick. That potato thing gets people confused because you do want to trade out your potatoes after 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't want to plant in the same place.
For 3 years.
For 3 years.
Yeah. And if you're going to save seed potatoes, you know, I had that article on where to get your seed from what part of the plants.
Right.
Seed potatoes, if you pay attention, you want to get the ones that are the deepest and farthest away from the plant. Those have the least amount of disease, if there is any.
All right, the deepest and farthest away. And so do you just save seed for a few years, and then I don't understand that.
Well, every year you plant it out. It's not like
okay.
you can't, not like corn will last 15, 20 years. No,
right.
You got every year you plant out, and you can harvest and save some for seed and the rest for eating. You can do that for about 3 years, and then the term is called growing thin.
Okay. And you just want to get some new seed going.
Get new seed.
Gotcha.
And don't ask me. I would really like to learn how the native people of the Andes, where the potatoes come from, how they did it for centuries.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know, and maybe it's just their old wild varieties that worked compared to our more hybrided or newer varieties.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe they just went out into the back
well, they
40
had the wild,
or something.
Yeah, they had the wild head growth.
Right.
So.
Uh-huh. And just went out into the wild and grabbed some new ones.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Hardy potatoes.
God, potatoes.
I just want to mention about your strawberries.
Oh, strawberries. Okay, let me give the phone numbers again because we have time for
a
couple
more
calls. Yeah. 527-486-8866, KVNF now. Help me, Dr. Strawberry.
Right.
Well, first of all, I've never understood the idea of a strawberry bed because within 3 years, they're no good anymore. It's all old plants. The soil strawberries seem to burn out the soil for strawberries.
Okay.
So there's another technique. It's called walking strawberries. I don't know if Lulu is that. You plant an entire row across your garden.
Oh, yeah. That's what they do in Connecticut.
And you, every year, you make the runners go one way.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Those runners.
Okay.
So they're always going into new ground. And after the second year, the original plantings, get rid of them. Till them in, chop the old runners off, get rid of them. And then every year you would do it, and it would advance across your garden. When it gets to the other side, turn them around.
Right.
Isn't that creative, huh?
And so you
you're
have
doing the same thing. You're rotating. And
you're rotating, and it's always in new ground. And the old ones, when you know, after 2 years, you know, at the end of the second year, I just get rid of them.
Okay.
See, I mean, that's it. And is this area, this climate really here on this side on the western slope really that great for strawberries?
I mean, well,
who's raising strawberries like huge? Somebody call us and tell us if you're raising strawberries huge.
Yeah, please let us know. I think my patch is exactly where you are saying. It's at that 3-year point where it's like it was great for a couple of years and now it's just,
Yeah, just give some extra fertilizer. That's the other thing they say. Don't fertilize strawberries or berries. I fertilize them.
You do. And that's with like a kelp or
The kelp, the compost, the manure.
The whole thing.
Compost. But in Connecticut, that was how they did it. And you would always see that. And strawberries in Connecticut grew like they just grew, and they were beautiful. And the farmers would always have their rows, and they would just walk the strawberries all onto one side.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then after the 2 years or whatever were up, they would put them back on the other side. In other words, they would have more than just one row.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they would just go over this way, or you know, everybody went right 1 year and stayed over there for 2 years, and then everybody goes left and stays over there.
That's how they worked it out.
Yeah, and that's how they worked it out. And, you know, I don't know what they did in between and stuff, but there were always strawberries.
Uh-oh. We've got people calling in. Lulu, want to know, why did you shave your cat?
Oh, God.
People are listening.
See? Okay, why did I shave my cat? Okay, does anybody out there have a long-haired cat that doesn't groom herself or himself very well?
Oh, there you go.
Because that's this cat's deal. And she gets dreadlocks, and they're painful. And she didn't have a whole ton of them this year. In fact, I almost thought about not doing it, but she shed so much that I just have to do it. I put it off for a long time, several years, and this year I just said, that's it. You wake up every morning and there's like these little tufts. I call them hair bombs.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
the hair bombs are all over the place, and those are the ones you can see, you know, that you can pick up. But then in the meantime, there's this duff of cat, and it gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
I think you made the right choice.
Yeah.
And she is a new woman.
And she is, and let me tell you how happy she is. So all you people who think that, you know, I've done a horrible thing. No. And
no,
you know
it's
what they do?
The new haircut.
Right?
Always
and it's
makes
gorgeous.
You feel better.
It always makes you feel better. And so when she's shaved, they leave on her head. They leave her head all fluffy and beautiful, and she has a little tuft at the end of her tail, and they leave all of her little feet hairy so she can groom herself. That's
and
the story.
And that is why Lulu shaved her cat.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lulu.
Done.
And listeners.
Yeah.
What about the lilacs and the forsythia? Something about pruning them. And may I say, this is the third week in a row that I'm going to remark at how remarkable the lilacs are.
Mine are in full bloom now. It's incredible.
Yes.
It's just spectacular.
Yeah. When lilacs and forsythias finish blooming, that's when you prune them, if you so desire.
So we're getting right there when the blooms start to deteriorate.
Yeah, so I might trim some of my forsythias. And the reason why you do it is they're blooming on last year's growth, just like peaches or your stone fruit.
Right.
And if you prune in the fall or early spring, you've pruned off the bloom. So if you prune now, it has enough time to grow new growth, which will be next year's bloom.
Okay, great.
And that's the forsythias are done, pretty much so. The lilacs are still in full bloom, so you can, unless, of course, you're in Grand Junction, maybe Delta Montrose, they might be done down there. And some you can top. Generally, what you want to do is take the big old woody trunks out of there.
Okay.
And you want to promote newer growth. You can do that with lilacs. You can do that with forsythias. Lilacs, I know it's every year you take one-fifth of the bush out.
And really?
It's young, middle-aged, and old. You do that every year. It's not just the old you take out so that you have an even amount. And then once you've done that, if you want to bring it to top it, that's when you top it. But I wouldn't do the topping first. I'd do the thinning first.
So you're really thinning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're cutting them to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's...
So don't be afraid to do that.
No.
Mm-hmm. And you get all those, you get all that tight, suckery stuff out. Now, I leave...
Right. Okay.
I leave my old growth going.
It does make good firewood, too. It is a hardwood.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. But if one of my lilacs, so some of them are so old it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And they were severely topped off at one point.
Uh-huh.
Like just, that. It wasn't me. Somebody else did it. And so they're kind of trashed and I just let them go. But the one that I've been growing, I leave the old growth, I leave those woody trunks.
You like the texture. I mean, this is the dilemma.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So this is where we get to make the choice.
Right.
Right.
Right. See,
right.
I leave that and I try to make it like sort of airy underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And then I leave the top, just do whatever it wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you have to cut them. You have to cut the flowers off because they come in a V, right?
Yes.
So the flowers in the middle of that V, you have to, if you go and prune each flower out. Now, there's some bushes around town. Obviously, you're not going to do that, right? I mean, you'd be there till next year trimming them.
Uh-huh.
But if you get the bulk of your, or you just...
The old flower
the
heads.
The old flower heads.
Right.
Out.
Yeah. Okay, that's great advice to know.
That
I wouldn't
makes
think
them
we'd...
happy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they flower again on the two stems that you left.
Right.
Because there's a V, and the old flower head is in the V, and you leave the sides of the V, and then you get more blooms.
It's all about making them happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like being happy, and they like being pretty. And do either of you guys have a problem with your lilac seeding?
I do in one spot. Yeah. Lots of suckers.
Mm-hmm. Well, not suckering. Actually seeding.
Seeding. No.
Yeah.
They actually
what
come up
that?
From seed.
From seed.
Oh,
if you
my
leave
goodness.
Those seed... pods, they'll actually mature, not every year, or even all the time, but they do. And I have been in many yards where lilac seedlings are coming up.
Man, mine go cuckoo. Mine seed like out of control.
Mm-hmm. So you consider it a weed? We talked about weeds last week, or sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, and I pull them out every time I see them, and then one will show up somewhere, and it'll be 3 or 4 feet high. And, I missed it.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I love it. You've got to be on guard all the time.
Yeah. I love it.
Then you get it all cleaned out and you come back. You go, where did you
come
from?
Where did you
come
from?
Well, thank you. I'm weeding my second time of the raspberries. And there was a Canada thistle. I've weeded you once. Where did you come from?
And don't you mark the spot? Is
I
this
did.
A new spot? Or
new spot. So,
really?
So... The other one was in the potato patch. Now, this one was in the...
Yeah, but that Canadian thistle will do that because
it'll
those
bloom.
Runners.
Yeah, but they were too young of plants.
Oh.
This is seed. Coming
up
from seed.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
seed.
So it's marked.
Yeah. I've been thistle pulling.
I love
the rain for thistle pulling.
And,
I think that's my new problem. I thought I was on a 15-year binder weed plan, but it actually has been like 3 or 4 years that has made some pretty good strides on controlling the binder weed. So it was things like letting the grass grow a little bit longer and shading it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, shading it out.
Getting a good healthy
shading
sod.
Shading it out in the garden. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the better your soil gets, the the more the bindweed is out of there. It doesn't like loose, loamy soil. It likes nasty soil.
Hard pan,
yep. So
kind of like that false salsify.
That's the hawkweed.
Oh, yeah, hawkweed.
I'll tell you what, if anybody really wants to investigate weeds and what is this pen doing? Okay, I'm over it. And figure out what their weeds are doing. What you've got going. Get that book, Weeds of the West.
Yeah, that's a great resource.
That's
who
amazing.
Is that by?
It's got like 10 authors. They all got together and, you know, but it's
Weeds
it was
of the
out
West.
Of print for a long time. So it might be back in print. I don't know. But it's just fabulous because it's got everything. And I identified things that I had been looking for years.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to find beneficial weeds in there, right?
Yeah. And that whole story about how the weeds tell you a story about your soil. Like, is it compact? Is it alkaline? Is it whatever? You know,
yeah. Indicators.
What it's deficient in and what you need to improve on. You mm-hmm. can figure out from your weeds.
Yeah, from the weeds.
Yeah.
I got that list someplace.
Yeah,
we'll have to dig that out.
I think, you know, we did. Where?
Oh, look at that.
It's right here.
That looks like it was typed with an old-fashioned typewriter. Ding, 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 ding.
Lance goes, oh, I've got that somewhere. And he opens the book and it's like right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He is on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, knapweed, which is common weed here. Too much potassium.
Yep.
So balance that
ragweed. What about white top? What does it say?
White top was up here. Let's see, white top, improper decay or composition. This causes a buildup of formaldehyde and alcohol in the soil. These conditions allow these weeds to proliferate. So it's improper decay in the soil, heavy compacted soil, probably too much water. And
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Although it seems to not like water. It seems to go away.
Yeah, but that real heavy
clay.
I usually see white top and clay along the driveways, roads. I don't see it out in fields too much.
Not so much, yeah.
It's got a solution under there. Change the pH and loosen up with organic matter. You know, so that's a pH problem. And your meter test pH.
Yeah.
Oh, right, your soil meter.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing ever.
Oh, we got one more call real quickly. We're going to take from Skip. We have Skip on the line. Hi, Skip.
Oh, hi, Skip.
Hey, guys. Calling. You were talking about weeds, and I was wondering if you could comment on dandelions, which I don't think are necessarily weeds, but I think sometimes they're considered weeds. And what's your take? And you know, I know that you can like make all sorts of stuff out of dandelions, and you know, if you want to do that, how do you go about making good coffee and salads out of dandelions?
You pick them and eat them.
Yeah.
And coffee, you want to get the root and roast it.
Coffee? I've never
heard
of that.
Chicory in your coffee, dandelion.
Oh my word.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's the root.
So dandelion root and roast it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
grind it up.
Grind it, uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, grind it up. And and for the leaves, like now, it's not so great because they're flowering. And then once they flower, they get a little bitter.
Yeah, I like to cook with them.
Yeah. Oh, God. I eat them in all kinds of ways.
Going for them when they're young and tender before they flower? Is that the...
Yeah, it's better that way.
That's for raw salad stuff, but what's
I know what you're thinking of.
Wilting them in bacon grease.
Yeah, wilted dandelion greens in bacon grease. And the other thing,
Jeff's right? Salivating.
And the other thing is, once they have flowered, is just cut them down and wait a while, and when they come back, go for it.
And they did make wine out of the flowers, but I don't know exactly.
Dandelion wine.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it takes an extreme amount of sugar to the amount of dandelion flowers.
Yeah.
So. All right.
And then with the flowers, you can just put them in your salad too?
I don't.
I never have, no.
No, more just the greens.
Mm-hmm. Just the greens. Yeah.
Okay. And the bees love them.
Yeah.
The bees love them. And it's been a good dandelion year this year. Big ones.
Huge.
All right. Well, thanks, Skip.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks,
good
Skip.
Dandelion talk there. Learned something new. Learned several things new again. Thank you, Lance and Lulu. And it is about time to wrap it up. It's going to be One Woman's Perspective coming up next. You know, next week we're going to have a special guest in here. It's Wind Clearwater talking about permaculture. So he'll be joining us.
And oh, that's such a great topic.
It is a great topic. And be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 6:30. And it's As the Worm Turns. Thanks for listening to KVNF. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, have a good night.
Pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.